Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Otter, your host for this evening's edition of Medically Right. This is March the 17th, 2007. We're here tonight to take a bite out of this new world order. And as always, I think our best chance, prayer. And I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer for those who are taking a stand against this world order. And I ask, please, don't just listen to me pray, but add your voice so that a multitude is praying together. Dear Yahweh, God of good, creator of all the universe, God of Abraham and his sons, Ishmael and Isaac, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We ask that you shelter us from the forces of evil. Bless our minds with discernment and our voices with your word. Guide our steps that we may follow your way. Cause the New World Order to fail and its conspirators to be exposed, defeated. Give us courage, help, determination, and material resources. Keep us in the hollow of your hand, enshrouded in your Holy Spirit. For we pray in the name of your only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Amen. You can get this program in three different ways. One is on the internet, another is on the shortwave, and if you have satellite service, we can be reached that way. On the internet, you can call rbnlive.com. On the shortwave, we are found on 5.050. I sometimes refer to that as 50-50. 5.050. And on the satellite, you can tune in to Galaxy One Transponder 17, Narrowband 7.92, Horizontal Polarity, 133 West. And for those that have the 4D TV, we are found on Galaxy One Channel 954. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I think we would like to point out how the insiders, those that we've established as the false Jews, the from Khazaria, who control so much of the world, who have set up financing and banking institutions to finance the media, their gain of the political parties, so much of the corruption we find in our world. But tonight we're going to talk about their development of money, the history of money, and of course the coming financial collapse that they have planned for the great chaos out of which they intend to bring their new world order. The world has become a highly complex and interdependent system. Before the Industrial Revolution, nearly everyone was actively engaged in farming and hunting, as it took nearly all of everyone's time to garner sufficient food. Few people could be spared so pressing an issue to pursue other arts. Today, modern agriculture is conducted by a small minority with the muscle of machinery. Our interdependent system would be in great danger if anything disrupted the flow of food to the petroleum refiners or the gasoline back to the farmers. Any such disruption would trigger a breach in the flow of water to those who operate the electrical power plant or the flow of electricity to those pumping water. The resulting domino effect would progress at a geometric rate to a new dark age. That would please
many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. To order, write Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the program. I need the gain up in my ear so I can hear these commercials coming on. We're talking about the interdependency of our systems and the development of the history of money and, of course, the coming financial collapse that is literally planned to create chaos so that they can bring a new order out of that chaos. Now, we were discussing how electricity is very important to those that pump the water. And water is very important to those who are generating the electricity. And if anything is to start disrupting these kinds of important interdependent links, it would literally bring us into a dark age, one that would please none but the most depraved. And unfortunately, there is a scenario in motion which will trigger many concurrent events. That event is the death of the dollar. And it's slated to occur in the new future. I would imagine it's going to be within just a few years here. And those who worship money will have great difficulty in accepting the death of their God. And in order to grasp the import of what is impending, an overview of the development of money is needed. E-commerce started with simple trading of goods known as barter. Those who produce expensive things like ships would have some difficulty in trading with small producers such as the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker. precious metal became a standard medium of exchange for trade because of its scarcity, and it was a store of value that is minutely divisible. It facilitated trade. As a store of value that is so minutely divisible, but barter did present some difficulties in some respects. But gold and silver were not perfect alternatives. At the time of trade, the seller needed assaying supplies to ascertain the purity of what the buyer said was gold. And scales were needed to verify the weight. It was not easy to verify the value of gold without such cumbersome equipment. For convenience of trade, some goldsmiths cast gold into coins. With coins of consistent weight and purity, people could more readily engage in commerce, and it did not take long before the edges of the coins had to be serrated with fine edges so that shaving of coins would be more obvious. Historically, a month's wages was approximately 1 ounce of gold. And there were some unscrupulous people that thought it was easier to shave a little bit off of a lot of coins rather than work. Now, even when these clipping crooks didn't counter with the filing of new ridges into the edge, coins still lost weight from jingling in the pockets. Pockets and purses over time, and to circumvent these problems, some goldsmiths became bankers by issuing certificates of deposit for a specified quantity of the precious metal. The first money was a warehouse receipt for precious metal. People could shop with the paper certificates or trade them in to Mr. A. Goldsmith for real gold. The first official modern banking system using receipts for gold was launched in Amsterdam in the year 1609. And it didn't take long before the budding bankers noticed most of the gold for which there were certificates just lay fallow in the vault. Only 10% turned over. Some people claimed their gold and others brought it back to get certificates. Some bankers, overcome by greed, decided to issue a few extra certificates of deposit and loan them out for an interest rate. Oh, it was fraud to issue certificates of deposit for something not on deposit, but nevertheless, a very effective way to enrich the lender. At first, these loans were conservatively backed by mortgage and assets. However, they became more liberal over time. Such additional paper injected into an economy was, still is, by definition, called inflation. The extra money chased the same quantity of goods and bid up the price for all goods and services. The one who issued such counterfeit, that's without precious metal backing, kind of money, received full purchasing power of the current value, but everyone suffered from subsequent higher prices as a result of this practice. The ones hurt most were those who saved for the future. Certificates of money depreciate in purchasing power during inflationary times. And the investor deposits good money and later receives cheapened dollars, which buy less. In 1690, King William III of Great Britain had seriously depleted his funds due to a war with King Louis XIV of France. And in desperation, he legalized money lending in order to borrow $5 million for the war effort. It was not enough, and he sought another $6 million from Sir John Hublin and William Paterson. They agreed on the proviso that King William would have Parliament grant them a charter to create a bank with the right to issue paper money against their gold reserve. In 1694, such a charter was created. The Bank of England with Houblon and Paterson issuing many more receipts than they had gold backing for. The profit in such usury is obscene. Some of these proceeds went towards lobbying to make gold illegal to possess. If gold is illegal, the people cannot make a run on the bank when they suspect the integrity of the paper money. And here in America, President Roosevelt made it illegal for Americans to own gold on May 1st, 1933. You see, there's essentially three ways that a government may raise funds. First and foremost is to tax the people. Secondly, they may borrow, but this method has some serious drawbacks. If government is unable to live within its means, how will it be able to do so at a later date and concurrently repay the loans and interest on the principal? The third and least acceptable is for government to print the money and spend it. That third alternative has devastating effects on the economy because inflating the money supply with additional paper notes makes the money less scarce and consequently worth less. When dollars lose their value, it takes more of them to buy anything. And everything. The general public doesn't realize that it is diminished value of what we pass around as money that causes price to go up in the store. They tend to blame the storekeeper for being greedy. Greed is involved. But fault lies with the politicians who cannot or will not limit their expenditures to the revenue raised. There is a hue and a cry for a balanced budget. Nearly everyone intelligent knows that it's precisely what is needed and should be the prudent policy of every person and every organization, including every government. Some of the politicians have been touting a constitutional amendment to accomplish that end. More sinister souls have called for a constitutional convention to accomplish that end. Now, such a convention, no matter what pretext brought it on, would wipe out the old Constitution and bring on one suitable to the New World Order. If action is limited to a single balanced budget amendment, there would still be disastrous results because as surely as politicians are crooked, they will not limit their spending to revenues collected. And when the balanced budget amendment does materialize, it will be an automatic tax increase to counterbalance the wanton spendthrift policies of government bureaucrats who foolishly squander money. Now, it would be better if spending was limited to income, but unfortunately, the end result will turn out to be the automatic tax increases to counterbalance spending. Going back to World War I, after World War I, the Treaty of Versailles placed reparation payments on the German people at the rate of 132 billion gold marks annually. Now, this was to be paid ostensibly as punishment for starting the war, but in actuality, it was for losing the war. And this unconscionable burden is a flagrant violation of the terms of surrender as outlined by President Wilson's 14th point. We've got a break coming up here. We'll talk more about this in a moment. Please stay tuned.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom. But without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders' political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Welcome back to Radically Right. We're talking about the history of money and the plans to hyperinflate the economy here in America. And building upon some of the history of this, we're right now at this point touching on the Treaty of Versailles that placed a responsibility on the German people after World War I to pay reparation payments at the rate of $132 billion gold mark annually. It included Allied soldiers' pensions and all kinds of things that were really a violation of the terms of surrender as outlined in President Wilson's 14 points. So Germany had to implement all three methods of raising funds. Oppressive taxes were levied against the German people, but that was not enough. Money was borrowed in the form of bonds, but that was not enough. Then money was printed to buy foreign gold to make these payments, but that inflation cheapens money and causes prices to rise. By 1918, German people were forced to take a wheelbarrow full of large denomination Deutschmark down to the corner store just to buy a loaf of bread. To forestall that bust, everything possible was tried. In order to ease the inflationary pressures, many wooden cuckoo clocks were exported around the world. The foreign currencies were received in payment and could then be used to purchase gold needed to make the reparation payment. In spite of all the efforts made, Germany experienced a Great Depression that led many of the people to conclude that war with France was better than paying reparations. The rate of payment set at Versailles was purposely set high enough to cause war again. War makes the bankers' munitions factories profitable. War disrupts the lives of people, and confused people are more easily conquered. War, better than anything else, makes people want peace so badly that they may be willing to consider world government as a means to avoiding that tragedy of war. The insiders want world government not to stop wars, as they would have us believe, but rather so that they may rule the whole world as an end in itself. The ominous occurrences associated with being conquered in war cause every possible effort to be expended. In World War II, all three methods of raising money were utilized in America: taxing, borrowing, and printing. First, taxes were levied in many forms, such as utility taxes, and luxury, excise, etc. Money was borrowed in the form of war bonds. Even school children kept their dimes and quarters to buy red and green stamps, which filled a book that was then turned into a bond. Thirdly, money was printed outright to purchase guns, butter, ships, tanks, planes, uniforms, and everything necessary not only for the U.S. military, but for much of the Allied forces of Great Britain, France, and USSR as well. Lend-lease was a big transfer of wealth from the big producers to the unproductive. Never had so many owed so much to so few. That was how Great Britain's Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill, encapsulated the contribution made by the U.S. to the Allied campaign during World War II. The elasticity was drained from the money system by such an outrageous act of charity on the part of American people, and it was significant. It is easy to suspect if they were tricked into spending much of their children's heritage to the USSR and Europe. Welfare payments to show up the Soviet Union have been periodically necessary. As an economic system, socialism cannot support itself. Like vampires, they need fresh blood prey. This is not honest contention among good men vying for what they believe to be the best of alternatives. This is depravity for its own sake and a struggle of principalities and powers over the real issue, good versus evil, and inflation consistently. But that's evil. Much of the world runs on Keynesian economics. John Maynard Keynes was a queer British socialist who founded the convoluted system used today to run the world into the ground. He was a neighbor of Lord Rothschild at Cambridge and an officer in his bank. Keynes' first textbook on economics stated in the last chapter that the system was devised to destroy capitalism. Now, the warning of that last chapter is now missing from his text, but nevertheless, effectively accomplishing the intended end. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. Listen to our sponsors. We need this freedom cause afloat.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Of money. And at this point, we're talking about John Maynard Keynes, who wrote the textbook used in all our colleges today to inculcate the minds of college students on the proper way to handle economics. And when John Maynard Keynes first wrote his book, the very last chapter said that the system was devised to destroy capitalism. And the warning of that last chapter is now missing from his text. But nevertheless, effectively accomplishing the intended end. It was John Maynard Keynes that said, and I'm going to quote, "There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning an existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all of us, all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and does it in a manner not one man in a million can diagnose." End of quote. Now, when you see money going up at an increasing rate, prices of goods costing more and more than you thought was possible, this is hyperinflation. And it starts out slow and increases at an increasing rate. Now, there have been many inflations that have come to a complete bust. A bust is the result of increasing prices that proceed at an increasing rate, and it is the value of currency going to zero at a faster and faster drop rate, as though it were being dragged down by gravity. It happened in Germany in 1918, France in 1720, and again in 1790, China in 1949, Hungary in 1956, and nearly every other violent revolution in modern history. Hyperinflation, as it is called, follows a pattern. As prices rise, those who have saved money most earnestly see their hard work vanishing. Like right now, if you put $100 in the bank at the end of the year, you may have $105, but the $105 will not buy what the $100 bought a year before. And yet you got to pay taxes on the $5. Like that's real profit, that you've made a real gain? It's not true. And as prices increase, the ability of a nest egg to offer security diminishes. Depression results. I'm not talking about an economic depression. I'm talking about personal depression. And a morose personality in turn sours relationships that come with opportunity. Such is the vicious cycle that commences dragging down the spirit. Those who lose hope tend to feel cheated and become willing to bend civility for a grasp at security. With the economic features so bleak, and people tend to live for the present. That results in hedonism that displaces productive effort needed to prevent further personal decline. The increasing momentum of such a downward spiral triggers more fear, which in turn causes more people to prepare for violent defense. The spread of violence and the need for violent defense operate in tandem. The tension from having so many tense people around tends to be self-feeding, like a mountainside snowball that gathers mass and momentum until the area becomes one encompassing avalanche. Such social evolution occurs more slowly. But like the travail of birth, the pangs become increasingly stronger and closer to the end. As a function of time, prices will rise more quickly than before, and in much larger increments. This will be a sustained shock, leading to the kind of panic that triggers a breach in the flow of food to the petroleum refiners, or the gasoline back to the farmers. Others, such as the breach in the flow of water to those who operate the electrical power plants, or the flow of electricity to those who would like to use it for pumping water, be even worse. The first wave of chaos was scheduled to commence as the major computer-driven systems crashed in the year 2000. Unfortunately, fortunately, it was the military satellites that went blind and the push was postponed. The money becomes worthless and soon absolutely worthless under inflation. This kind of chaos will cause people to ban the government, do something to squelch the tumult. This is the reason for all the political moving, maneuvering, to get the people to accept martial law. Oh, it'll probably be euphemistically called a declared state of emergency, but once martial law is instituted, they're going to forget to remove it until the second coming. The following hypothetical scenario effectively illustrates the impact of hyperinflation. A transporter operator, one of those truck drivers, brings a load of food to the city and ponders the worthlessness of money so debauched that a bushel basket full of bills printed with big numbers is required to buy just a loaf of bread. Will it be worth that person's time to take it to the store for a paycheck that will buy nothing or close to it? Many in similar circumstances will opt to grab the goods and make a dash and panic. And formal survey opinion shows that a large portion of men will respond to hyperinflation in forcible ways as necessary. This engenders the chaos from which the Illuminati hopes to bring its order. Their motto is Ordo Ab Chaos, which is a Latin phrase that means order from confusion. Now, they're willing to create great chaos to propagate their order. Inflation will do precisely that, and when the money is worthless, people will readily embrace the new UN gold-backed money. Creating great chaos will enable them to use it as a springboard for great changes in order. All historical inflations have been exponential in growth. That is, it increases at an increasing rate. The modern inflation experienced here in the U.S. has followed that same mathematics over a long time period of an entire century. Even though it has been stretched over a long time period, the most dramatic price increases are going to occur just before the end collapse. What commenced as a small increase in prices has progressed more dramatically because the end is near. Such a hyperinflation bust will cause a disruption in the flow of goods and services to highly interdependent functions. When food fails to make it from the farmer to those who refine petroleum, generate electricity, or pump water, then nearly all the systems will crumble. None of their essential output will make it back to the farmers, and chaos will ensue. And during most modern inflation, other countries step in to shore up the faltering, just like the U.S. bailed out Mexico. And this has taken a toll on the host and hastens the date that the supporters' demise. And in this new world order, the bankers set up an economic system for the whole world. Nearly all countries connect to the International Monetary Fund. That's the UN superbank. The IMF bails out countries on the brink of bust, but requires more contributions to the IMF by members of the UN. And this will cause nearly all the world to experience inflationary bust concurrently, together. The schedule is supposed to be complete soon. The loss will be staggering. As inflation soars, the necessities will consume a larger portion of everyone's budget. We've come a long way since $21 equals an ounce of gold, and it'll be a long time before it gets back there again. Inflation causes the prices of goods and services to soar. With nearly all goods and services requiring more dollars for sale, such economic indicators as GNP, that's the gross national product, are affected. Most people who know about GNP believe that it is an indicator of national wealth. And if there was no inflation, their assumption would be true. However, inflation does exist and introduces a false slant to the GNP. To calculate gross national product, the economists multiply the number of goods times the price of each and add up the result. If prices go up dramatically, less goods could actually be produced and there would still be a rise in the GNP indicator. inflationary compensators do not adequately reveal the truth because the index is artificially low in order that it may be politically correct. The real wealth is in the goods themselves and not the avalanche of fiat paper money. There are two ways to increase the price of a product. One is to ask for more money. The other is to cheapen the product. And plenty of both have occurred during this inflationary century. Some of the inflation has been hidden by the utilization of slave labor in communist China, where workers garner about 17 to 20 cents an hour. Most inflation has come about most recently. As inflation tends to increase at an increasing rate. No matter how bad it seems now, it will be worse in the future. No matter how bad it seems then, it will be even worse further down the road. And one fateful day, the dollar will buy nothing. Most will recognize this as the day prices hit near infinity. And those who worship the almighty dollar will find their God dead and they will disparage. Now, this century experienced such hyperinflation concurrent with change in government. Consistently, new government cared less about individual rights. Much of the time, the new government had socialism as part of its name. Socialism is euphemism for communism, just as liberalism is euphemism for socialism. The boot heel of tyranny is poised on the rights of people to be free. The leash is consistently shortened and will be reeled in at an increasing faster rate as time progresses. The socialism label is being dropped along with the Communist Party. However, same players are still at bat, even though the team has changed its name to Global Community. Whatever the name, tyranny is scheduled to be part and parcel of the means to implement the new order. Martial law will bring on a draconian dimension. Those who understand the conspiracy and speak out against it call themselves patriots. Those who tend to back up at the Constitution for the United States of America with blood if necessary are recognizing the need to form militia groups. They are second on the hit list compiled by World Government Finance. Primary targets are the coming tightening martial laws, Navy SEALs, and special forces. Men who could train the militia to be formidable. The insider plan is to eradicate them first. The patriots and other relatively untrained resistance will be a lesser match for the secret technology concealed from the public by the New World Order core group. Such technology will prove to be devastating to patriots who plan to resist. See, the Illuminati has lasers, phasers, EMP, electromagnetic pulse, and particle beam weapons installed in satellites. There are 66 low Earth orbit satellites, and the system must rotate around the world to form a stable altitude and from there, this makes them a formidable military machine and brings to mind the text in Revelation that asks, who can war against the beast? The savings and loan crisis is another glimpse into the lying and conniving world of banking. There's not much difference between a savings and loan association and its fellow pea in the pod called a bank. The only essential difference is the underlying laws that support the two types of organization. Special provisions were written into the code governing S&L so that collateral was less important, and the taxpayers backed any loss. In that environment, the bankers loaned each other and friends huge sums of money with no intention to repay either the principal nor the interest. The first inkling made public about the S&L crisis was grossly underestimated in the millions of dollars. After people... I hear the bumper music coming in. We're going to talk about these banksters in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And think about patronizing our sponsors so that public radio continues to bring you the truth you need to survive.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. These materials document the global leaders, political and religious working behind the scenes and their plans for us. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 1-888-211-1715. Again, 1-888-211-1715.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the Mark of the Beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Welcome back to Radically Right. We are talking about the history of money and the engineered financial collapse that is intended to bring about such chaos that they will be able to bring out their new world order. And right now we're discussing the points of the S&Ls, which were only slightly different from banks. Banks are backed up by the money of the rich people who own the banking system. But S&Ls are backed by the taxpayers. And it was in that environment that the bankers loaned each other and some of their friends such huge sums of money with absolutely no intention to repay either the principal or the interest. Now, the first inkling made public about the S&L crisis was grossly underestimated in the millions of dollars. After people were allotted time to get used to the ripoff, they were then informed that it might be larger than originally estimated. And now with the schmooze out of the way, we know that the true amount runs into the trillion-dollar arena, which American taxpayers must reimburse. The most horrifying twist to this nightmare is that government prosecutors decided to save the taxpayers the money by not prosecuting the super rich. It was their contention that it would be too expensive to adjudicate the S&L crisis in the courts. It seems as though the Justice Department had forgotten about the prospect of fine and forfeiture in the system. And even though common folks on the street thought some of those ill-gotten gains should be surrendered to cover the damage, but unfortunately, those common folks on the street did not prevail, and they got the bill for it. We should note that the allegedly scoop-crazy and overly eager print and electronic media does not bring up the subject anymore. Is it really not newsworthy? Or is it one of those where the conspirators would really like the people to forget? I want to take a moment right here to remind you, as I'm going to do every week, that freedom isn't free. One of the forefathers told us that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And I'm afraid some of our ancestors were not on the stick. And by the time most of us were born, we had a central bank here in America called the Federal Reserve. It's not federal. It's no more federal than is Fred Smith's Federal Express. And there is no reserve. So I want to ask you to do what you can to support those who are really working to try to save our freedom. And if you know of somebody better than the Republic Broadcasting Network, get behind them and push. Be a real support for them. If, like me, you realize that the real front runner here is RBN, I ask you to support RBN with your funds. Do the best you can. I hear our break coming up again. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered.